You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Sermon was presented by Dr. Dale A. Meyer. Its title, I Am With You Always. Now, here is Dr. Meyer.
Many people today don't have a problem with loneliness. Their problem is that they can never find enough time to be alone. What I wouldn't give for a little time alone! Yesterday I saw a bumper sticker. It said, if a woman's place is in the home, why am I always in the car? Now, any modern mother knows the answer. She's busy providing taxi service for the family, driving the children to school, driving them to lessons, driving to the supermarket, driving here, driving there, and mom's taxi service may be in addition to working outside of the home. Many men would cry out for a little time to be alone. How can you ever be alone when you're wearing a beeper, when you've got a phone in your car, when you get to the office and find a new stack of memos, and when you come home dead tired and find that you have to work on some family issues? Author Ralph Key says that we modern people are rushaholics, and we're paying a big price for our rushaholism. A single parent, or the parents, get up early in the morning, drop the kids off at daycare, and go to work. Maybe it's a long rush hour, a nerve-wracking commute. Then you put in 8, 10, 12 hours at work, burning your energies, trying to keep the boss happy, who may be a nice person or may act like a jerk. When the workday is over, you commute back home, pick up the kids, and grab a bite to eat. How often do you relax before dinner, have a leisurely meal, and talk after the meal is finished? How often do you do that? No. You grab a bite, perhaps try and force quality time on your kids, and you all go to bed exhausted and unsatisfied. Some hours later, the alarm goes off, and just like a hamster, you do the treadmill thing all over again. Now, is it any wonder that marriages come apart? Why should we be surprised that our kids have ulcers and see psychologists? This rat race is killing so much joy in us and in our families. It's contributing also to the death of our bodies. Oh, what I wouldn't give for some time alone. In Matthew 28, verse 20, Jesus says, I am with you always. What? I can imagine the conversation between the frazzled, overcommitted adult and Jesus. I am with you always, Jesus says. The harried adult says, oh no, not you too. I get almost no time alone, and now you want some of my time? Hey, I don't have anything left to give. Jesus, what do you want? I want to help you, he says. You know, call upon me in the day of trouble. The sick, the oppressed, the people feeling guilty and powerless, I help them. I want to help you too. Thanks for offering, Jesus, answers the frazzled, overcommitted person. But I went to church the other week. It was okay. It left me with a nice feeling. Church is good for the people who have the time, but I'm so pushed I just have to get some time for myself, alone. Wait a minute, Jesus says. I'm not talking about going to church. Now, obviously, I am not against that. I want everyone to go to church. I do great things for people in church. But that's not my purpose in talking to you now. I'm not doing telemarketing for the institutional church. I'm Jesus. I want to help you. That last answer from Jesus got our frazzled, overcommitted friend thinking. Right. Nothing wrong with the church. It's good. Many of us belong. But apparently, Jesus is about more than just going to church. When Jesus says, I want to be with you to help you, he may very well be talking about something we all need. Jesus is sincere. He's not just a salesman pitching the church. So, okay, Jesus, I'm listening. How can you help me? Here's your problem, says Jesus. You're a finite creature trying in vain to cope with infinite demands. You're a limited person. Please, don't take any offense because none is meant. You've got your limits. We all do. You do have some wonderful traits and abilities. Maybe you're a good office manager, a great media consultant, teacher, lawyer, whatever. You're good, but you've got your limits. We all do. That's what finite means. You're great, but you're not God. We finite people have trouble with the infinite. It's not simply the infinite demands from work or family that crowd your time and space. It's God, too. Say the word infinite, and God comes to mind. He is infinite. No limits, no boundaries. Finite people have trouble with God. There was a time when our finite humanity got along well with the infinite God. That was back in the Garden of Eden. Getting along with God, Adam and Eve were obviously able to cope with other things. But it all went wrong. Adam and Eve, all people, try to live as if we're unbounded. We fantasize that we can overcome our limitations and do it all. Do it all? Only God can do it all. But we finite humans keep living and thinking and planning as if we could do it all, as if we were God. It's a big confusion of roles. We creatures act as if we are the creator. The Bible calls this confusion of roles sin. We humans act and think and talk as if we were the infinite God. You might not think that's a big deal, but from God's perspective, that's rebellion. The way he sees it, we're his enemies. God's perspective is the only one that counts. After all, this is his world. You're a frazzled, overcommitted person of the 90s? You're crying out to be alone? Of course you are. Here's the problem. You're a sinner, finite and limited in so many ways, and you can't cope with the infinite. So, Jesus, you say you can help me. How? Here comes the point. Jesus alone can close the distance between God and people. Jesus and Jesus alone can make us finite sinners know our niche in the grand scheme of things. Jesus and Jesus alone can make you happy. You're crying out to be alone? Let Jesus be with you, and you will cope. For in Jesus Christ, the infinite God became a finite man so that all of us might be blessed. The distance between us finite people and the infinite God is a distance that we could not close. We're so hung up on ourselves. We've got this ingrained idea that if we change this or alter that, if we shift from this economic plan to another, if we could only get a more satisfying job, if only we can get through the current crisis, if only, and then it'll all be better. We're like hamsters looking for a way out of our cage. There isn't any. We finite people cannot close the distance to the infinite God and all the good things that he has to offer. The gap between us and God is closed from God's side. It's closed by Jesus. The eternal, infinite Son of God became a finite human. Born in Bethlehem, a citizen in Israel, Jesus is the infinite God become human flesh. This Jesus is holy. He has no sin. Being God, he has perfect communion with the infinite God. And yet the Jesus who ministered so long ago in Israel was no Superman, someone exempt from the harsh realities of real human existence. He showed himself to be a true human. Martin Luther writes that the humanity of Christ, like that of any other holy and natural person, did not always think, say, wish, and notice all things, as certain people make of him an all-powerful being, mixing and confusing the two natures and their work. So Jesus, who says, I am with you, truly understands frazzled, overcommitted human life. Jesus, true man, and true God, did what all finite human beings do. He died. Calvary's cross, the crucifixion, you know the details. By his death, this finite human being, who is also the infinite Son of God, has saved all people. True man and true God, he died on the cross so that your sins could be forgiven. He died because we all rebel against God. All of us love to flirt with the idea that we can do it all. We can do whatever we want. We can transcend our limitations. We can be like God. Well, that's arrogant. It angers God. But God didn't want to show you who's infinite and who's finite by punishing you. What God wanted to do through Jesus was to show you real greatness by loving you. The infinite God does love you. He showed it by having his eternal Son become a finite human being. And like all of us finite beings, Jesus died. But unlike our death, the death of the Son of God and the Son of Man has paid the price for all of your sins. St. Paul says in Romans chapter 5, "While we were still helpless, Christ died for the ungodly." You see, it is a rare thing that a person would die for someone who is righteous, though perhaps a person might be brave enough to die for someone who has been good to him. But God shows his love for us by this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. 3 days after his death, Jesus was restored to life. How could he be with you now and help you if he were still dead? He had paid the price for your sins, so God raised him, so that you can have the greatest gift for coping with life, the gospel of God in Jesus. St. Paul says in 2 Timothy, "He saved us and called us to be holy, not because of what we had done, but because he planned to give us his undeserved love. This grace he gave us in Christ Jesus before the world began. It has now come to light by the coming of our Savior Christ Jesus. He took away the power of death, and by the gospel brought into the light the life which cannot be destroyed." So, the gap between us finite mortals and the infinite immortal God is closed in the person of Jesus Christ. Now you can relate to the infinite. Not that you will become gods, as some people claim. No, you're still a creature. But what a happy and blessed and joyful child of God you can be. You have peace with the great God, and you have his promise to be with you and help you as you live your life. Sure, you need time alone. We all do. Your best and most helpful time alone will be the time you spend with Jesus. "I am with you," he promised. That promise is still in effect. After his resurrection, Jesus was present with his disciples in a different way than before. He would appear and then disappear. He would mysteriously pass through closed doors. Sometimes he ate, sometimes he didn't. Then, 40 days after the resurrection, Jesus ascended into heaven. Does that mean that he left us? Was it as if Jesus got into the space shuttle and went to someplace above the stars and that's where he is now? In other words, when Jesus says, "I am with you," does he mean it figuratively but not literally? No, 1,000 times no. Sometimes when the Bible speaks of the heavens, it means the region of the sky. But other times, the Bible speaks of heaven and means where God is. That is the realm of the unseen, the infinite. When the Bible says that Jesus ascended into heaven, it means that he was removed from our physical sight. As the Son of God who had accomplished the salvation of humanity, Jesus re-entered the unseen, invisible realm of God. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 10 says that Jesus, who became human, went up above all heavens to fill everything. According to his divine and human nature, Jesus now fills everything. Jesus didn't leave us. He is literally with you to help you. "I am with you," he says, as the Son of God and the Son of Man. When you cry out that you want to be alone, you're showing the strains that all of us sinners feel because we finite mortals can't cope with the infinite. In those moments of loneliness, you need Jesus. He's not another burden on your frazzled, overcommitted life. Just the opposite. He says, "Come to me, all you who are working hard and carrying a heavy burden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble-minded. Then you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So Jesus says, "I am with you." You say, "I thought you were just another pressure." But you're not. "Jesus, please abide with me." But how? When? Where? Jesus answered, "Where am I with you? I'm wherever you are. Don't get the ascension story wrong. I didn't shuttle off away from the earth. I am literally with you according to my divine and human nature." You say, "Jesus, when are you with me?" Jesus answers, "Always." That includes the commute. That includes when you fall into bed so tired. That includes Sunday church, too. Great things happen in church on Sundays. Please go to church. But I'll be with you always. You ask, "Jesus, how are you with me?" Jesus answers, that's the art of meditation and prayer. At any time, at any place, when you're crying out for a moment alone, turn your thoughts to me. It may only be for a few quick seconds. On the weekend, it may be for hours. Tuning into the infinite is a real art, but you can do it. Jesus says, "My Spirit will help you at any time, at any place. Turn your thoughts to me." Loneliness is not the same as being alone. No one wants to be lonely, but from time to time we all need to be alone. When you cry out to be alone, turn your thoughts to Jesus. "I am with you always." Amen.
You've enjoyed this message. The Lutheran Hour is a listener-supported ministry of the International Lutheran Layman's League.